are calling the meeting to order. Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, September 10th, 2020, and here we are via Zoom again, hoping for a vaccine or for some sort of maybe very large conference room where we can all sit at least 6 feet apart from one another and meet again in person. But until then, technology is bridging the gaps that are created by the virus. So welcome, and why don't we move on to item number two.
First, I will call roll. Commissioner Amy Buck.
I'm here.
Commissioner Tanya Dobie. Don't see her yet. Commissioner Faruqi.
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill.
Here.
Commissioner Lee. I know I see you. Janie, you're muted. There you are.
Yeah, I was having trouble, but I'm here. Yeah.
Commissioner Matsuba. Don't see her yet either. Commissioner Nimothy?
I'm here.
Commissioner Dr. Carrie Reynolds?
Here.
Commissioner Mike Reynolds?
Present.
Commissioner Steinberg? Commissioner Steinberg, you're muted. I see him on the screen, but he is muted right now. And Commissioner Wang? Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Now I can hear you.
I'm present. Sorry.
All right. Okay, so item number two is opening quote reflection.
Before we move on to that, can I just get clarification whether Commissioner Dobie is here? It sounded like she tried to say something, but I couldn't hear it. So
I don't see her yet, or Commissioner Matsuba. I don't see either one of them right now.
Commissioner
okay.
Matsuba mentioned she wouldn't be able to join us.
Oh, okay.
So, opening quote reflection. Amy, please enlighten us.
Thank you. So, I want to start with a quote from Viktor Frankl, who, as you may know, is a Holocaust survivor. And he wrote in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he said, "But there's no need to be ashamed of tears, for tears bore witness that a man had the greatest of courage, the courage to suffer." And the reason why I wanted to share that is I feel like there's a lot of suffering, and I tend to kind of like always want to be, there's a silver lining on every cloud. But I feel like if we don't sometimes honor and acknowledge what people are going through, we lose touch with our human centricity and our ability to be present. And I just feel like, you know, with COVID-19, not only have there been multiple losses that people have suffered, both, you know, physical losses as well as emotional loss of community, a sense of connecting with one another, and then also we've experienced of late kind of a more apparent, out loud, visible representation of the lifelong losses that people have experienced due to unfairness and injustice and discrimination and hate. We are in a time of once again experiencing wildfires in California, and we're on the eve of the 9/11 tragedies, right? And so there's been, you know, so much loss, and what I hear people often talk about is resilience and how we're a resilient community, and I love resilience, I do, but I also feel like if we don't honor where people are at, we can't necessarily be there for one another, and people can't fully express themselves. So the last kind of hallmark I wanted to acknowledge, or day I wanted to acknowledge, is we're in the midst of suicide prevention week, and so I just want to take this time to honor the courage of everyone who is on this call and everyone in our community who has suffered and who has been brave enough to share those tears and to experience courage. And if you're on the Zoom or if you're calling in, you can hear my voice. I just want to honor what you've been through and what you've done and all we do together to make Orange County a better place for all of us and hopefully a fairer place for all of us to be. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Amy. That was really fantastic. And I can heartily recommend Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. It's an amazing book. Thank you for those thoughts. Would anybody like to comment on the wisdom that Amy has shared with us?
Yes. This is Dr. Reynolds. I just couldn't agree anymore. It's 110% agreement. I think you probably spoke for all of us. We're all enduring various kinds of pain, and to be authentic with that and acknowledge that is really important therapeutically. Gosh, Amy, you sound just like a psychologist.
Yes, honored by a few good ones.
Yeah. Anyway, I would like to share with you something personal that happened recently in regard to all of this. A patient of mine in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, committed suicide 3 days ago. And this is the first time in my entire career that somebody has died, I call it, under my watch. And I'm having, as you might guess, varied feelings about it. I knew it might happen, and there was nothing I could do to keep this person from leaving the planet. But it's indeed painful. It's just very painful. And thank you for opening the door for me to share that.
I just wanted to share, Dr. Carey, how sorry we are about all of that. I remember at UCLA, one of our students committed suicide. This must be 20 years ago. And the faculty member who was closest to the student still talks about it. So I just want to let you know we all feel for you, because it's such a tragedy. And we're actually doing a burnout webinar today because of all the things that Amy mentioned, and the frontline workers and all the people who have devastated losses. So we all feel for everyone here on this commission, and for you in particular, Dr. Reynolds.
Thank you. And I know everybody's enduring some kind of pain, and we just have to love each other and bless each other and keep moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for that. That's very touching. Any other comments before we move on? Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Okay, and I did also want to acknowledge that Commissioner Dobie did join us a few minutes ago. So,
thank you and welcome.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. I got student learning happening and hot spots dropping, children on my regular laptop, so I'm on a desktop with a headset. So I appreciate your grace this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining. Better late than never, and we all can certainly understand the compromises that these crazy times bring. So...
Okay, item number three,
Is
a monthly summary of commission activities.
Since Commissioner Matsuba is not able to join us, can we lean on Norma for this?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Chair. So, as you can see, this is a regular matrix. It shows the updated numbers to date in terms of where we are in our activities, but I particularly wanted to just focus on the middle of the page where it says intergroup relations or relationship building. So under the bullet hate motivated events, our first one is that we had a total of 14 hate motivated events last month. Five of them were hate crimes and nine of them are hate incidents. And of the 14, one of them was COVID-related. If you look at this, we're in the upward trends of hate activity in our county. And you saw you might have seen in the report that's attached to this, it's increasing. So our work and our commission staff work and the commission's work becomes vital at this point, and I'm so happy that we're here to really kind of address and combat that. Another piece that I thought was really, really important to share is there was a hate incident that was reported to the commission staff last year around Halloween time, and our amazing staff member, Maureen Databoy, had been working with the reporting party and OCSD staff around the incident and back and forth, and just this past month, she was able to convene both of these parties to discuss the actual reported incident and just look at ways and really talk about, have a dialogue around the impact and why the residents felt that this needed to be reported, and how is that maybe in the future OCSD might be able to better address or even have a deeper conversation about some of the actual representation of different signs, different things and historical impact it has on certain communities. So it was a really amazing conversation. I was able to sit in on it, so I really wanted to share that it was, Maureen did a great job and one kind of really working with these two groups prior to bringing them to that space together and really sitting in the space and listening and really being part of that was pretty incredible. And it became really clear that we're essential to that type of work, and that's really our role. It's really how do we bring folks together to talk and really build a better understanding and respect for each other.
Thank you very much, Norma.
Yes, it's Rick Steinberg.
Can you hear me?
Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Norma, yeah, I don't know if it's inappropriate to ask, but would it be possible in the monthly packets to get a listing of the hate incidents and crimes, not names or anything like that, but what it is that we're experiencing? I mean, I think it's important for me and for all of the commissioners to kind of understand the ongoing nature of what it is we're dealing with each and every month. Is that possible?
I think
she's frozen. Norma looks like she's frozen on the screen.
Well, maybe it's not possible.
I have to assume that it's possible. I think it would be helpful too.
But on page 4 of the report, there is actually. But this is different, I think, Rabbi. This is called the 2019 Hate Crimes Report, but it does list out what the hate crimes were in terms of anti-Jewish, for example, is quite high. Anti-Black is high among the race ethnicity group.
And but that's our yearly report that comes out once a year. We get that after a year. I just think, I know for me, to be sort of more in tune with what is happening on that kind of monthly basis might be really helpful for our work, I think.
Right.
But I just don't want to, I don't know if that violates anything, that's why I was asking. And maybe, I don't know if Joyce is on the call or somebody else might be able to.
Norma's back.
Sorry. I don't know what happened to my internet.
Did you hear my question?
Well, I would have to think that you know, these are being reported. And if it's being reported to a law enforcement agency, then at least the nature of the crime being reported or the nature of the incident being reported is something that could be divulged to, the information could be assembled. It's obviously been assembled, and it could be divulged to the commission. I agree with Commissioner Steinberg that this could be useful information for us, particularly when at least it seems like, based on these numbers and just anecdotally looking at news reports, that we're seeing an acceleration in hate crimes and hate incidents. It seems like the trend is going the wrong direction, and it would be nice to be able to see it in more real time than just at the end of a year.
I missed your question, Rabbi.
The question is it possible to get a monthly listing of what the hate incidents and crimes were? Not with divulging information of people's names and whatnot, but so that we're in tune with it on a monthly basis, not just the yearly basis.
Yeah, definitely. I can integrate that in this. I know that I've been doing so for those that were COVID-related just because of the trends that we saw. But I could definitely do a breakdown in terms of the motivation. So we do keep track of that. And of course, I do want to say that from the 14th hate-motivated incident, a large percentage were anti-Black.
Okay. And could we also get an idea of what exactly the incident is? Because, I mean, you've got five crimes and nine incidents. It would be helpful, I think, for us to recognize the severity of the crime or incident. So, you know, if it's an assault and battery, versus a name calling, I noticed in the hate crimes report, of course, vandalism seems to be a common, probably the most common act that is committed. So it'd just be helpful, I think, for us to know, to keep track of the contagion of hatred, so that we're in a better position to treat to treat the disease.
So I could definitely include, kind of add that to the monthly summary of activities. I can add a portion to break down whatever incidents are being tracked for that month. I can offer that information.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you very much.
This is
any other questions or comments for Norma?
Yes, this is Dr. Reynolds. I just want to advocate for that as well. I think it's really important to know the measure of the crime committed, the hate crime.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Before we move on? Okay, let's move to the next item.
Next is open forum. So if anybody that's listening in would like to speak, if you could hit *9 now. We do have one person listening in. Anybody else does? So if you want to speak, please hit *9. And nope. So we have no request to speak. So
did notice of the meeting get posted as it normally does?
Yes.
Hmm.
It did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Oh, hold on. They raised their hand. Here we go. Hold on. Okay. So phone number ending in 244. I'm going to unmute you. Okay. Go ahead. You are still muted. Hold on. Okay.
I'm here.
Oh,
hi,
there you are.
Pat Davis. Sorry,
that's
I was
okay.
on the wrong screen. Doing this on the phone, I was trying to figure out how to do it on the computer. But anyway, good morning. And half of my comments you've all already addressed, which is the idea of that 2020 is certainly a different year than 2019, I think, and appreciate the report, but the numbers, I'm sure, will be magnified, and the idea we could do monthly explorations of that, I think, would be quite useful, and I appreciate Norma's willingness to keep that updated. My typical comments are around the unhoused, and I know we've spoken about how we might get your support in considering that population in these reports. And I know that there's some limitation by definition of a group identity or some issue that rises to the level. But again, we know that things are happening and are becoming actually more directed towards the unhoused. So anything you can do in that realm to continue to draw attention, we do appreciate. And I know that folks would as well. And when we go to reporting, working still daily, even if it's not face-to-face, so many folks are targeted with certain hate-filled behaviors, but the risk that they feel in reporting, and we're working on that, but it does go to trust. So maybe if folks who are unhoused see information being shared about that population, they might be willing to step up. But again, and thank you for your work, and I'll be curious to listen throughout this session. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Anybody else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. On to the next item.
Okay, item number 4 is approved release of 2019 hate crimes report.
Okay, so has everybody had a chance to review the hate crimes report? Well, I guess I'll take a lead role here in saying that I think the information presented, while it is sobering and certainly not good news, the quality of the work is something that our commission can be proud of and can stand behind. I would certainly move or entertain a motion to approve the release of the 2019 hate crimes report. I think that it's well done, as it has been in past years, and I would entertain a motion, and then I would entertain an opening up of discussion on that motion.
This is Dr. Reynolds. I so move.
This is Mike Hamill, second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve. Why don't we open up the discussion on the motion, which is effectively a discussion on the merits of the hate crime report. Any questions, thoughts, comments, issues?
Well, this is Fareed, and I just want to, the work that the commission has done and put out this report, it's really amazing. I mean, I've not gone through it, my apologies, but just reviewing it right now. But I think, as you mentioned, Commissioner Chair, that it has been well put together, and the information that, I mean, it is concerning. We see the rise in the numbers of hate crime and hate incidences and all that. So there's more work to be done, but I think this captures the essence of what is happening and how the shift is taking place with all that is going on in the nation. Job well done.
This is Addie Namathy. I also want to add that I really like the information that's included in terms of the person that reads it, understanding what to do, for example, if they're victimized, and also providing all the resources at the end. It was just extremely helpful.
Thank you both for your comments. Any other comments, questions?
Just a comment. This is Dr. Reynolds again. I just want to chime in. This is really quality work. Like you said, Commissioner Reynolds, the information is very sobering, and it's not something to be happy about, but this is a job well done in reporting. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments as well, Commissioner Reynolds. Any other comments, questions, thoughts?
Just as I know there's this element of this dealing with different breakdown by religion, by ethnicity, and what have you, and we also have from high school, elementary, and how that is shifting within that middle school, high school area. The percentage is going up. Now with COVID-19, I'm sure the next year's report is going to reflect differently than this one, and all the different issues of the Black Lives Matter and the protests and things of that nature that have risen, that give rise to more issues and more areas to cover. And so the graph and the information, the data, would probably speak differently at that point. And not to mention, there have been some slight uptick in also, even though I don't want to politicize, but politics is part of our living. But people who run for office, whether it is local for a school district or city council, any other race, whether in California or across the different states, we have seen incidences of that kind as well in the speech and posting on social media and other areas that has also become a little bit more belligerent, if you will. So maybe some tracking of that kind, not necessarily from a political standpoint, but more from how we engage civically and as people respecting others, having rights to voice, to take a certain representation, whether we sit on commission boards or any other place. It's serving the public, serving our communities. So I'm just throwing this out for the commission and for us to perhaps look into. There was something that was recently that I had shared with some of the commission, including our chair. And I know there has been some follow-up, perhaps by one of our staff members, perhaps. But I just want to bring that and highlight it, that there are other hate type of issues that are going on. Perhaps we are not, even though we have a broad net, we cannot highlight everything, but something that is shifting under the current climate and how we are representing ourselves.
Thank you very much, Fareed, for that. And I think that's one of the, I think that's one more reason why it will be helpful to have hate crime and hate incident information on a monthly rather than a yearly basis. We're seeing the, we're seeing a level of rhetoric in American politics now that, at least in my lifetime, is new to me anyway, we're seeing the open embracing of identity politics with potentially negative consequences, I agree, we need to steer very, very far from discussing things in a partisan manner, but it is certainly not. It is certainly not wrong for this commission, as a general matter, to demand from our political class decent behavior, and certainly from their supporters. Hopefully, by tracking hate incidents and hate crimes on a monthly basis, particularly as we get into closer to the election and potentially the aftermath of the election, it will be useful for us to have that information.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that.
This is Jennifer Wang. I actually have a question regarding the report figure 5 on page 13. If you look at it, it says 2019 hate incidents, and the graph, it shows, anti-Arabic, Asian, et cetera, et cetera. Could you guys elaborate more on the anti-immigrant, multi-race categories? What does that encompass? Is there...
I'll take that one. So for multiple races, usually when we get the report, folks have checked off more than one race. So we can't just say this is anti-Black or anti-Asian. They checked off several different boxes, and that's why they're lumped into multiple races. And that's why it's categorized like that. The anti-immigrant, that one in particular, actually, let me see. Oh, that would be connected back to the national origin. So that was specifically folks who mentioned that they felt they were targeted because they were told a certain phrase that go back to your country or you don't belong here. So there was rhetoric tied to that, being there was a perception that the victim was not from here or that they were immigrant, and that's how we were able to connect it back to the immigrant sentiment.
Within the anti-immigrant, for example, do you know if the breakdown is, you know, go back to the country because you're Hispanic or because you're Asian? Is that taken into consideration? And then another for the multi-race, for example, somebody can be half Asian, half white, or half black and half Latino or something like that, but people are perceiving them with the incident, they're perceiving them as a color. And so for me, I would think that somehow it should reflect that color instead of just saying like multi-races. Do you know what I mean? Because they're not, I don't perceive it as they're discriminating because they're half this or they're a quarter this. They're just looking at them, right?
You could make the distinction if we get a lot more information, and if when we get a lot more information, we're able to put it under a specific category. But if they've only checked off boxes without giving us more background, then it's really difficult to decipher or kind of cut and say, well, this one belongs under this category and another. If you want more information about how the anti-immigrant one kind of breaks down in terms of race, I'm able to pull that out of our data. So I do want to say, I want to commend Joyce, because she helped put this report together, and the manner in which the data was collected this year was different than we've done in the past years, which is why you're able to see this level of detail in terms of the data and the breakdown, which we were not able to see before. So, you know, if anybody wants, there's different graphs that I have in terms of our data, but not all of it could make it into the report. So this specific data you need or you want to see, let me know. I do have a 10-year trend graph as well, if you want to see that. I have that too. I was going to do this in my other piece, but you know the approval here kind of helps us push the report into the next level of approval before it's publicly released. And we're talking about how to do that. So some of what you don't see here in terms of data and graphs might be part of the release event and presentation. So I just wanted to put that out there. There's a lot more information that can be offered, but because of the limited space we have, it's not on here.
And I think it also bears mentioning that the reporting also, when it talks about the basis of the bias, it's a perceived bias. It might not be shocking to members of the commission to know that those who are motivated by hate are often uninformed, and so in addition to having bad motive, it's common for somebody to be attacked for a perceived characteristic that the person actually doesn't have. That doesn't make it any less hateful, but that's how it's kept track of. Okay, so any other questions before we call the question and take a vote?
I have a question on, and this is coming from a biracial person who always wants to check all the boxes, because you're not going to put me in a box. But if people understand why something's being asked, like I am, my mother is white, my father is black, but if you look at me, you don't know what my mother is. So if someone aligns me, it's because of what I look like. And I think that if people understand that you're not asking me this so that you can pigeonhole me, and, you know, because I'm mulatto or quadroon or whatever the case may be, it's so that the information can be better disseminated and so that actions can be more appropriately taken. I think they'd be more inclined to honestly answer the question. And the way that I've seen, because over the course of my days, I've seen it asked a lot of different ways, but the one that is probably most comfortable to answer is, which do you most closely identify with? So I can still check all of my boxes, but I'm saying that I identify as a black woman. Because obviously I can't identify as a white woman. Y'all would look at me and say, well, I'm going to identify as a horse today then. But maybe if it's the way that it's asked, then the information can be streamlined better and funneled better so that the results and reporting would be more reflective of what the end goal is.
What I can propose is some of you know that we have a reporting form online that we use. So folks either call us or they fill out the form. Or, you know, if it's law enforcement, they'll send their own reports to us. But if this commission wants to, I can bring at the next meeting, we can bring a copy of what's on the reporting form online to kind of review what's the data that's being asked and collected and how it's being collected. If that's something that's of interest, we could always bring that back. And if there's any suggestions, we could always kind of go back and make those edits. And, you know, reporting forms, we're trying to make them as easy and less daunting as possible for folks to be able to feel comfortable in reporting. But if there's essential information that the group feels we should be collecting, then we could always make those changes to the reporting form. So that's just an idea. I don't know what folks are thinking about that.
Well, I would definitely be interested in taking this meeting because I think one of the major factors is when there is race involved is what race. I think that's probably one of the more difficult pieces that definitely looked at. So I don't know if it's everybody got to look, or if you have like an ad hoc meeting, or how all of that is associated. But I'm more than happy. I am never the person to just throw work at someone. Like, you could even send it to me, and I'll say, hey, here's my thoughts. And you appropriate them the way that you know it has to be done within the scope of what you know. Because all I know is what pops up in my head. Right, I don't know how that actually gets facilitated and put into action. That is your cup of tea. I just got my couple of cents here that I'm willing to share. And like I said, I'll look at it and make notes and just send it back. Like, I'm not trying to make you more work, friend. That's my bottom line. I don't want to make you more work.
I would also like to have some input regarding that as well. And I might have missed it in the report. Are there reports regarding ageism? Are there any sort of breakdown regarding that?
Not from what we collected. If that was not one of the trends that came up. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
well,
I know. Well, I know it happens. I know it happens. So that's what I'm asking.
What we know is that, you know, we're a hidden jewel that not many folks know about. And then, of course, the amount of unreported incidents that happen in our country is very low. What we get is a drop in the bucket of what we see and what is the experience. We understand that, which is why we, you know, I think that it's important to put the information out there and do as much education as we can, and make it easy for folks to report, right? To build that rapport, that confidence, or kind of build that trust. But they can come and report to us because we've built this stuff. We put this together for the county and the community. And then, you know, kind of work on what comes after.
Absolutely, Norm. Because I'm just thinking in regards to, for example, the community that I serve, a lot of the hate incidents that I'm aware of, it's what they're attacking the vulnerable. So it's the young children and then the older adults. Because they don't have as much fight, I guess, or ability to, you know, really respond to that stress. Whereas perhaps maybe people in the middle, it may happen, but they can, you know, respond verbally, or they can report to somebody with authority for help. That's what I was asking in regards to, is there a breakdown in regards to the age? Because I can see perhaps it's like I said, the younger folks and the older folks who are being like more the victim in these cases, at least. I'm just thinking for the report for this year regarding like COVID-19 especially, I would be interested to see what's the percentage of the older people, perhaps.
And I would suspect you would find that that is also a reason why homeless tend to be victims, because it's easier to victimize them.
So
you raised a very good point there. I want to thank Commissioner Dobie for the point she raised. You know, there are two. You know, it raises the question of, you know, what are the goals? You know, well, I think two goals are, you know, one is focused on the victim, how the victim identifies, and how we support the victim. But the other end of it is on the perpetrator. You know, how do we identify the perpetrator and the specific type of bias and hatred that is growing? You know, for instance, you know, when I was young, you know, my best friend and I were subject to anti-Jewish slurs, and we're not Jewish, but for some reason or another, people thought we were. And so that's identifying the nature of the hatred is useful in tracking the pathology, so that we know, even if somebody makes an anti-Jewish slur or an anti-Jewish attack against somebody who's not Jewish, we still know there's a hater out there that's got, that's a danger to the Jewish community, right? So that's why it's so important to track the perceived group the perception of that, or misperception even, that the perpetrator has. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Well, this is a great discussion. I thank you to everyone who has participated in this discussion, and certainly into the production of this report. I would like to call the question at this time. So, all those in favor...
We need to do a roll call vote. Sorry.
Right. So, go ahead. I'll let you handle the roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Amy Buck?
Yes, I approve.
Commissioner Tanya Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Looks like we have lost her. She's not here. Commissioner Matsuba is not here. Commissioner Nimothy?
Yes.
Commissioner Carrie Reynolds?
Approve.
Commissioner Mike Reynolds?
Approve.
Commissioner Steinberg? Mr. Steinberg, you are
approved.
Muted.
Oh,
there you
approved.
Are. Thank you. And Commissioner Wang? Okay, it passes unanimously with two absences.
Okay, so it passes. Fantastic. This is fit for release now. And Norma, do you want to give us a status update once it's fully published?
Absolutely. Like I said, there's another level of approval that needs to go through the county. But as soon as we get more details back to the final approvals and then in way of release, then I will inform the whole commission about that.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Okay, item number 5 is anti-hate campaign ad hoc update.
Okay, Rabbi, that's up to you.
Well, thank you. I am very excited to announce that the Board of Supervisors passed to Know Better campaign, and we have a $250,000 grant in order to take this campaign to every high school and middle school in the County of Orange that is interested in participating. And so it was about a year's worth of work, but through the support of the supervisors and their staff and all interested parties, we made it happen. So I want to thank everybody who was on the ad hoc committee and everybody who helped, particularly Norma and her staff as well. as Renee. I don't know if she's on the call. She was a tremendous help in getting this through. And so very, very excited. And Norma, I'll turn it over to you to explain what kind of next steps are for us.
Sure.
Thank you, Rick. Norma, go ahead.
So that was part of my report, but I think I'll go ahead and give an update. So, yes, we were able to get an approval from the board to move forward with a revised version of the plan. So the $250,000 are CARES money. So we have taken the To Know Better campaign, and it's going to be a To Know Better contest, which we have hired a coordinator to help us coordinate and really manage that part of the programming. We will be trying to engage middle schoolers and high schoolers in participating in creating this anti-hate multimedia content. And it really focuses on just the trends that we've seen due to the pandemic with COVID-19, the hate that hate writers against the Asian American, the AAPI community, and then kind of fourth country. So at this point, we are operating on a very, very strict and tight and aggressive schedule. So we've already also engaged a media consultant, so we should have collateral soon. And our coordinator will be giving us a little bit more updates on that. And I do want to say that this program ends at the end of the year, December 2020. So because it is tied to that funding, it has to be completed by that date. So like that's why what I meant was an aggressive schedule. But we are on target, so we're really excited. And I think further down the line, you'll have an opportunity to meet the program coordinator.
Norma, I'll just say that I'm confident that this will be such a successful program that the Board of Supervisors will want to use county money in the years to come to support this program.
This is Commissioner Reynolds. So I'd like to add to that comment that I think they would be open to that, and I think that's a good thing to work for.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
I just want to thank Rabbi Steinberg for leading this as committee chair and for making this possible with Norma and the team and the committee. I think this is very much needed. It's timely. I'm glad we get the funding from the CARES Act funds for now. But this will definitely be beneficial long term. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner. I appreciate it. It was a team effort. For sure.
And as usual, Rabbi is being humble and passing out accolades, which are very much deserved to the people that he congratulated and appreciated. But this also would not have happened without his tireless advocacy and his energy and his leadership on this. So a well deserved and hearty congratulations to Rabbi Rick. Thank you so much for your hard work on this.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it very much.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Item number 6 is the forum's ad hoc update first listening session.
Fareed, I think you're up for this one.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The committee met on September 2nd to kind of go over what we need to do and on the listening session series. So we have before us in the attachments that you have received. I don't know if Norma, did we provide the commission with any information on that? Not yet.
No, you're...
Okay, I'm just going to present it. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, Justin. So we're going to have a virtual forum that is scheduled for Tuesday, October 6th from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. It'll be via Zoom. That's going to be coordinated. Renee, who is probably listening in, she's going to help us craft the flyer and information that needs to go into the package. It's still being worked on. So basically, the session will be fear-driven hate, understanding our implicit biases, and the community experience. That's the session one. And that's how we have titled it, if you will. We're going to have panelists to kind of talk about different issues. The two main items will be implicit bias during crisis events. We are still soliciting or looking for speakers. One of the names that was suggested in the committee discussions were Dr. Song Richardson from UCI, but not knowing whether her availability, she's a busy lady with any duties in the law school and other things that she does, but somebody of a caliber and professional background with that to speak to. Then the other topic item will be increase of hate activity and scapegoating during COVID-19 in Orange County. And this could be taken leaded by one of the commissioners, or we can have a combination thereof, an outside speaker and a commissioner representing the Human Relations Commission. So that's in a nutshell what we have. The details is we are going to be having breakout sessions within each of this. So people have discussions and then have a briefing in the larger group. We'll try to also want to promote no better contest during that whole session, if you will. And if we have this keynote speaker or the person to address implicit bias and, during crisis events, that will be again with two panelists, a discussion and a recap with breakout sessions on that as well. So that's pretty much what we have. And Norma and the team is working together on that. And if I've left out anything, Norma, please feel free to update the commission.
I do have an update that the flyer for this event has been approved.
Oh, yeah.
So after this meeting, I will be sending it out to the commission. Please send out widely. Spread it out through your network. There is a registration form link on that flyer. So folks, if they want to register, they'll register through that link so we get a feel for the amount of folks to expect in the space. And that would help us with preparing for the amount of facilitators we might need for the breakout session. So I'm very excited about this because I know that this is the one of the many other listening sessions that the commission has committed to do for the community, and it was framed by the ad hoc in a manner of having a learning opportunity, but then also opening up to listen to the community and really kind of delve and hear about the impact of fear and panic during the crisis that we're living in. So I will be sending this out after this meeting, and we'll begin to advertise and market it as much as we can. I know that the ad hoc has a meeting next week to kind of look at what we finish out and flesh out the details, but if any of you have any contact directly with Dr. Richardson, or maybe have other ideas of panelists who would bring a good eye into or education piece on implicit bias and how that kind of plays out, especially during this talk, please let us know so we can make that contact ASAP and get them on the foot for this day.
Thank you, Norma. Thanks to Renee and getting that approved for the flyer, really appreciate it. So please mark your calendars. It's October 6th, which is a Tuesday, 5 to 6:30 p.m. As Norma indicated, we want to have a good audience for us to listen as commissioners, and we have assigned through that program people that will be. Chief Hamill will be addressing us, one of the panels. Amy is going to be handling the breakout rooms, and Jenny is going to be handling one of the other sessions as well. So if any other commissioners want to help us out, you're more than welcome to join in. So that's our update here.
Fantastic. Thank you, Fareed, for your leadership on this. Any questions for Fareed or comments?
This is Commissioner Namathy. I just wanted to say I know Son very well, and I'm happy to talk to her. If you want to send me the flyer, that might be helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Norma, if you would.
Great, thank you. Just to clarify to Fareed's comments, the listening session will be hosted and facilitated by the ad hoc members. We wouldn't be able to host more than four, if I'm correct in that, Jamie? Four or five because of Brown Act violations. So I just want to make sure that we put that out there. If any other commissioners sign up, and if I reject your word,
you are thank you,
don't take it personally. It's because we're trying to make sure that we're not in violation.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you for pointing that out. I kind of slipped my mind on that. Yes, thank you. And thank you, Commissioner Namathy, for that offer. Please, yes, do help us getting her. She'll be an amazing speaker to have. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments? Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Item number 7 is Commission Staff Reports, update on To Know Better campaign and introduction of program coordinator and California Association of Human Relations Organizations board event on September 30th.
Yeah, we've already gone over most of that, but anything that's new, please enlighten us, Norma.
So I did want to have a give.
I think Norma froze again. Yeah, Norma, you're frozen. She froze.
Heat wave must not have made it up to her. Well, why don't we come back to Norma for this matter, and we'll skip on, and then we'll come back.
Okay. Item number 8 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Good afternoon. This is Mike Hamill, Chief at Irvine. No specific update regarding on behalf of the Chiefs and Sheriffs. However, I did want to mention one thing I think is relevant to the discussion and maybe of interest to the Orange County Human Relations Commission, and that is, I'm going to put on my screen, see if I can show my screen. Not sure, can you all see a flyer on my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so Pastor Rock Williamson of Christ Redeemer, I think most of you know Christ Redeemer, it's an African-American church in Irvine, but they truly have a regional influence. So they are hosting a series of town hall meetings. The first one was held this past September 3rd, and it was on the topic of implicit bias, and among the panel members were Dr. Christy Gardner from Cal State Fullerton, and she's a professor in politics, administration, and justice, and another panel member was Reverend Jeanette Goodwin, who is a pastor at New Hope Presbyterian Church. So on this particular meeting, I was an attendee, not a participant on the panel, but nonetheless, it was informative. But I mentioned it because I have asked to be on the panel for the upcoming town hall on September 17th. And so it's just more kind of a FYI to make this group aware, my fellow commissioners. And you can see here, all the meetings are Zoom meetings. There's a SCAMI code here. They're all held at 3 o'clock. The topic on the 17th is going to be about the criminal justice system. And so there'll be multiple panel members. I'll be one. I'll be asked to talk a little bit about the role of police in society, a little bit about Irvine in particular, and then be available for questions from people who will attend at large. So this is open to the entire community, and it is if any member of the community were to scan this code here, then they would be put into a virtual room where they can't speak, but they'll be able to type in questions, type comments that the panel members, myself included, will be asked to answer. So again, just given the topic, I thought it was relevant to mention here during this meeting.
Thanks much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Do we have Norma back?
Yes, we do.
Okay, she's unfrozen. She's thawed out.
Can we ask a question before Norma went to Commissioner Hamill?
Sure.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you could send around that flyer.
Yeah, I will forward it to should I send it to Mike Reynolds or to Norma Lopez? Which would be better?
Probably be better to... I was going to say, why don't you just send it to Norma, but just copy me. Norma's going to be better than I am at disseminating it.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay. So, my turn?
Back to item 7.
It's back to your turn.
Oh, I am unfrozen. So, I think we lost... Brittany Weller is the coordinator who will be overseeing and facilitating the To Know Better campaign program. She has a lot of energy, so I'm really excited. She brings some amazing ideas also to the project, and I want to have the opportunity to introduce her, have her introduce herself, but it looks like she might be having internet issues as well. So, I think we already spoke about the hate crime report. The last thing I wanted to report on is, I'm not sure if you all remember, but I am a part of the California Association of Human Relations Organizations board, and I'm a president of that board. But the Cairo board, back in June, held a session where they convened human relations organizations from across the state to just connect and see, you know, who's active, who's not active, what they're working on, and have an opportunity to get to know each other. So they're following up with an event on September 30th and from 1 to 2:30, and that session is going to have some panelists speak about the work that they're doing on the larger side of human relations org. They'll be talking about how is it that they might have been able to elevate some of their work for recognition, larger support, and then there will be a breakout session where, again, the different human relations organizations will be able to connect with each other. So I wanted to just put that invitation out there. I will send it out. For anybody that's interested, I think it's a good opportunity to get to know some of the other folks who are doing similar work that this commission is doing. Again, because of Brown Act, we can't have all of you there. So if you are interested in attending, let me know, because then that way I can make sure that you're on the list. And I can keep track of who from the commission, you know, has an intention of going. So, again, it's September 30th from 1 to 2:30 p.m. If you have some availability, let me know, and then I can add you to the list. And those are all my updates.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Norma? Excellent. Okay, let's move on to the next item.
Item number 9 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Does that have my name on it? Okay. We had a fantastic meeting 2 weeks ago in which we really talked about the purpose of the Interfaith Advisory Committee with ERF at some length. And really thought about what we're going to do in the year ahead. And
kind of a double-edged sword. It's a place to share honestly and with passion about the things you feel, one feels, and it's important for the sheriff to hear that. And at the same time, it's not a review board of the sheriff's department. And so we kind of walked through what that meant and how to frame that. And Reverend Dorsey and I were kind of the main facilitators, and then we'll open it up for lots of questions and comments. And I think everybody walked away feeling like we've had a good run the last 5 years and intend to have a good run in the next five as well. So a very productive meeting, to be sure. And that's it.
Great. Thank you, Rick. Any questions for Rick? Any comments?
I will say that I think it's awesome that you are getting input with setting boundaries and parameters for interactions with sheriff and law enforcement. I realize we have a very interesting point with law enforcement, but these were funny to say, folks. I just wanted to acknowledge that you're making them fantastic and very necessary across any difficult conversations that have to be had. There has to be
I think you're 100% correct, and that is to suggest the Orange County Human Relations Commission is all about building those relationships so you can have those conversations. It's what makes it so meaningful. And you know, I think, you know, you take somebody like Chief Hamill or Sheriff Barnes, these people want to listen. They want to hear what community saying, but they want it done in respectful ways, in ways that you can listen and you can have a dialogue. And that is what Orange County Human Relations does so well, and we will continue to do so.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, this is Dr. Reynolds. I just have a comment. I just like to confirm what everybody else has said before me about the significant relationship of churches or spiritual entities with law enforcement and law enforcement in the general public. I have to admit that I have an implicit bias towards supporting the police, because I was married to a Secret Service agent and I saw all of the problems that law enforcement has to go through. I lived through a lot of them, and I honor the police department and all police departments, but especially Irvine's. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Any other questions, concerns, comments? Okay. What's our next item?
Announcements from commissioners.
All right. Let's hear announcements from commissioners. Anybody have one?
Yes. This is Commissioner Reynolds again. I'd like to address the program that I got most of you or all of you excited about last year. And we honored somebody in the community last year, but we have not done so this year. And I had set a date of May for another honoring of a special person in Orange County who reflected behavior above and beyond humanness. And I want you to know that program has not been dropped, but I had some significant challenges with my family this year, and I am apologizing to you in part that has not been chosen. Nobody's been chosen for the award this year yet, but I am back on it again, and before year's end, we will make another presentation. Norma, that reminds me, could you tell me who is on the committee right now? who is on the committee besides Abby?
Amy,
I'm sorry. One of our committee members left the commission, so I don't know if we have anybody else still available. Norma, do you know who that would be? Is there one other person?
No, I thought it was just Amy and Addie. I will have to look at the list, but I know that one of them jumped on board. I think it was Addie that jumped on board to replace the person that jumped off.
Okay. Thank you. I thought there was a third person, but I'm probably wrong. Amy and Addie. Okay, then we haven't lost someone. Yeah, we have both of those. Okay, that's good. And again, I will be calling a meeting with Amy and Addie sometime very soon, and we'll go through the process of identifying all of the nominees and looking over their recommendations, and we'll select somebody. It's an exciting program, and I don't want to let it go, but it's been stagnant this summer, and I do apologize for that.
Commissioner Reynolds, I have a question for you on that, Dr. Carey. How many people do you already have? I know you were soliciting names from the commission.
Well, we did have three last year, and I can't remember who.
For the current.
Oh gosh, one of them dropped off the commission, and I can't think of her name now. Michael, do you remember who that might be?
I just don't. My recollection was that it was Amy and Addie and you.
Okay. Well, maybe.
My question was more in terms of who are we honoring. Do you have that list already, or do you have solicited any names?
Yes. I have three names that have been added to the list that look like they would qualify. We had a lot more submitted, but they've already been disqualified for one reason or another.
Are you still open to one or two more names?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Please send me the nominations, and your nomination, we'll go over that as well. I'll add that to the other three.
Okay, I'll do so.
I think this goodwill program is important for public goodwill, and also to show the general public what we do in the commission. We like to honor the people who are making a big difference in a positive way, because we get so much of the negative all the time. We know what the dark side of mankind can be, and we need to emphasize the very light side and the soulful side of the people that we live with.
Does it have to be Orange County based nominees, or is it the
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we've decided to limit this just to Orange County.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions about this? I know I talked a lot about it last year, but have been rather silent this year, and if you have any questions, please ask now. I tried to get everyone excited about this program last year, and we did. We made a presentation, but then it's been kind of dormant here.
Do you think we can provide a timeline of when the limit is for submitting additional names?
Yes. Last time it was April of this year, but April 1st, because we thought we were going to present one in May. And that didn't happen. So can we set a timeline of, is October 1st too unreasonable?
That's a good time.
And then maybe we could present in November. I'd like to do it before the end of the year.
Sounds good.
There are so many people doing so many good deeds and good things in Orange County, including all of you. And I just, every time I see somebody doing something extraordinary, I just want to honor that person. I know we can't honor everybody, but there's a lot of energy there's a lot of goodwill energy in our county, and that, I guess I don't need to tell you that again. You know it as well as I do, but I just want this commission to honor that as well, so that we're not always looking and talking about the dark side. There's so much of that too, and we want to keep a balance.
Thank you, Carrie. I wholeheartedly support your mission on this, and I thank Amy and Addie for joining in to help. You have been in the prayers of many of us because of the struggles you're going through with illness in your family right now. That's why we like to have more than one person on an ad hoc committee, so that we're able to support one another and pick up the slack for each other when we have these sorts of things happen in our lives, which we all do at some point or another. So,
thank you, Michael.
Thank you. You're most welcome. Next item
is adjournment.
Okay, well, that's an easy one. I think I can handle it. I hope you all have a blessed month, and I look forward to continuing to work with you over the course of what is going to be a bumpy season, I think, coming up. So thank you all again for all the wonderful work that you're doing for our community, and I look forward again to seeing you. Maybe I'll see you on Zoom or in real life next time, probably by Zoom. And that will be second Thursday of October.
Good. Hopefully it will be in the flesh.
That would be nice.
Thank you.
Be safe, everyone.
Thank you.
Again?